All right, we want to read from Romans chapter 8. And I want to read from starting at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of God. Verse 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know the old creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until when? Now. So we're talking about manifesting as sons of God. This is a subtitle of Vengeance and Recompense, of which we're talking about in this series. And this Vengeance and Recompense is now part two. Let's go over to Psalm chapter 102, please. Psalm chapter 102. Oh, yeah. Psalm 102. Let me know when you get there by saying, praise the Lord, somebody. All right, look what it said in verse 13. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. Zion symbolizes the church. For the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. And verse 16. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. All right. Let me work with this. We're talking about Vengeance and Recompense, part two. And this particular scripture in Psalm 102 talks about a set time. He said, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. Zion here symbolizes the church. And there is a set time. Now, I want you to get this, because we're talking about basically a programmed time in a dispensation. We're talking about a prophetic destiny. So here, he's saying there is a set time. Now, when you got a set time, basically, nothing can stop it from happening, because it's already set by God. Now, let's look at that, just take just a glimpse of that, and let's go over to Jeremiah chapter 25, please. Jeremiah chapter 25. Jeremiah is after the book of Isaiah, if that helped. Jeremiah chapter 25. In Jeremiah chapter 25, I don't have long, so look on the board. It said this, verse 11, and this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations. Now, this is God, and speaking about a set time. The set time here is 70 years. Now, if you go over and look at Jeremiah 28, Jeremiah chapter 28, you will see here, and I will read starting at verse 9. The prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord shall hath truly sent him. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and brake it. Now, Jeremiah put on a yoke. I don't know whether you know what a yoke is, but if you have oxen, you can yoke them together with a yoke. It's a wooden thing, and they take it and put it on one of them's neck and put it on the other one's neck. And the idea about it is that the stronger ox will guide the younger ox. Use a stronger old ox to guide the younger ox. Now, this yoke Jeremiah put on his neck to symbolize that the children of Israel, because of all the idolatry and things they were getting into and leaving God, that a yoke was going to be put on. And he said they were going into captivity in Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar for 70 years. This is what God spoke. And he is saying here that verse 10, and Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck, and he broke it. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, "Thus saith the Lord." This is Hananiah calling himself a prophet. "Even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Verse 13. "Go tell," this is God talking to Jeremiah, "go tell and tell Hananiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the yoke of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him, and I will have given him the beasts of the field also." Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, "Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but thou makest this people to trust in a what? In a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion unto the Lord, against the Lord." So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the 7th month. Wow. Now you see what happened to false prophets. Now, get this here. It's kind of interesting here. Because set time is what we're talking about. We ain't talking about prophets here. We're talking about a set time. We're talking about a prophetic destiny that God has already declared will happen to a people. That's a set time. There's a programmed time that something's going to happen. And in this particular case, the programmed time for Israel to come out of captivity was 70 years. But another prophet came on the scene and tried to change it. Got himself killed. Because when that time is set, no man, government, army, conditions, nothing can change it. Because it's a set time. I said it's a set time. Well, now there is a set time for the people of God. And this set time for Zion, the time to favor her, yea, the set time has now come. Boy, you didn't get it. Has now come. The time, Zion symbolizes the church. It's a set time that now this thing has got to happen. Say amen to this. Now, when that is done, and the Bible deals thematically, meaning that it deals with principles and reveals the flow in the mind of God all through the Bible. You see it one place and how God operated, it's the same way in another as how God's operating. I'm saying that this is now an announcement that the set time has come. And this is a set time that something's supposed to happen. in the church. Are you with me here? Now, in this, I want you to go back and look again and look at Israel, because the Old Testament is a type and shadow, or if you look at the life of how God dealt with Abraham, or how the consistency of patterns of things and how the God deals with the revealed flow of the mind of God is in Genesis, in Genesis chapter 15. Let's look at that. Genesis chapter 15. Hallelujah. Look what it said in Genesis chapter 15. And look at Genesis 15, chapter 15, pardon me, and verse 12. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them how many years? 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I what? Judge. And afterward shall they come out with what? Will they come out with great substance. All right. Let's go over to Exodus chapter 3. And look at that prophetic timetable. There was a set time of how many years? I can't hear you. 400 years. All right. Now, if you'll look here, look at verse chapter 3 and verse 19. And this is God speaking to Moses. Okay? Moses. Y'all remember Moses? All right. Moses is being called by God to lead the children of Israel out of captivity. Verse 19, and I'm sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. The mighty, I think, there symbolizes human strength. And I will stretch out my hand, O Lord. Now, I want you to underline, stretch out my hand, the hand of the Lord. Now, if you go through the Bible, you will see the hand of the Lord in various places. You'll see the hand of the Lord in Joshua, the hand of the Lord, Joshua chapter 4, the hand of the Lord in 1 Samuel chapter 5. You'll see the hand of the Lord. And each time the hand of the Lord moved, there was blessing on one side of the hand and curses or judgment on the other. Got it? Y'all ever heard of the term backhanded? Okay, that's where I think that came from. Okay, this is me now. This is First Winston. And so now, as you look at this, he is saying the hand of the Lord. So anytime the hand of the Lord moved, there was something miraculous happening, and there was blessing to one group of people and judgment to another. So now, and if you just want to put a reference down, because I am not going to go there today because I am going to finish on time. In Psalm chapter 78, it says in verses 41 and 42, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remember not his hand. They remembered not his hand. If you remember over in Acts chapter 4, the apostles were praying and they said, Lord, that stretch forth your hand to heal. Now, in this, let's go back to where we were, Exodus chapter, 3, verse 20. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will do what? He will what? He will let you go. And I will give this people what?
Favor.
In the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you go. Y'all read that, didn't you? When you go, you will not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her, and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment, and you shall put them upon your sons, upon your daughters, and you shall what? Spoil. What does spoil mean? Strip or take everything of the Egyptians. Okay? Now this is what you're going to do. You're coming out of there, but when you come out now, you're not coming out empty. So here's a statement you want to remember. Redemption is not complete without divine provision. I'm going to say it again. Your redemption is not complete without divine provision. One more time. That's very essential. Your redemption is not complete without divine provision. I told you that the mind of God is consistent throughout the Bible. Got it? In other words, hey, wait a minute. You're coming out of there, but you're coming out with some stuff. Say amen to this. You're coming out with some stuff. Now, what had happened here? Let's go over to two places. Let's go over to Exodus chapter 12, please, if you will. Verse 35, I'll just start there. It starts really in Exodus 11, but we'll start here. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment. Now they borrowed these things because this was now the Lord's Passover, that as they had now taken the lamb, unblemished lamb, and sacrificed this lamb, and so forth, now they're moving in to their inheritance, and that sacrificial lamb was a type of redemption. The price had to be paid for you and me. Jesus is called your Redeemer. He was the Lamb. In the Old Testament, the lamb was a lamb that was, according to Exodus chapter 12, that this lamb was without blemish, a male of the first year. So it was a type of Christ. But once that lamb had been slain and they had cooked the lamb and eaten it, standing on their feet and put the blood on the doorposts and so forth, now here's God telling them, I want you to go and borrow gold, silver, and clothing from the Egyptians. Now, the Egyptians had just lost their firstborn. So they could have been angry enough to say, I'm not going to give you anything. But the favor of God was on them. Say amen to that. Amen. Come back to Exodus chapter 11, please, and do it quickly because I'm moving. Verse 2, speak now in the ears of the people and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and gold. Now, he did that because over in Exodus chapter 3, he says that I will give you favor upon you so that they will loan you whatever you request. Say amen to that. Amen. Folks who don't like you will loan you stuff when the favor of God is on you. I said, folks who don't like you will loan you things when the favor of God is on you. Favor means to endorse, to support, to assist, to make easier, to provide with advantages, to show special privileges. It means to be featured. It is something that means to support and make easier and grant special privileges or provide advantages. We are supposed to expect favor every day of our lives. Say amen to that. So now they came and asked for this stuff and they gave it to them. But once they began to leave, Pharaoh came after them. Now, Here's what God told Pharaoh back in Exodus chapter 4. Turn back there quickly. Verse 22. I'm going to start reading. You better wake up. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto you, let my son go, that he may what? Serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay your son, even the firstborn. Now, a lot of folk don't like to read this. I said a lot of people don't like to read this. So let's just for a moment talk about what is the word vengeance. Vengeance has nothing to do with hate. It's nothing to do with resentment. If you think that, you got the wrong idea of God. Vengeance is nothing to do with some emotional retaliation. Vengeance, it proceeds from a love of justice. I said vengeance proceeds from a love of justice. Now, I'm here to tell you right now that justice is something that is at the heart of God. Because when justice does not go forth, then you will find that a people lose all hope, and also they lose faith for even the deliverance of God, meaning that God's got to keep them with faith so that he can get them out of the situation they're in. But when justice has not been applied and people have to live in that and see with no justice, something happens to the heart of a person. Say amen to that. And so God now is proceeding from justice. But not only that, he had something called recompense. Recompense means to compensate, to repay. It means to return an equivalent of anything done or suffered. It means to make amends. In other words, it means to pay damages. So what is God going to do now? He's going to pay damages to this group of people in their generation for everything that they have suffered as a people. And he's going to pay 400 years of damages, and he's going to pay. You better hear what I'm telling you. This has got to be preached. Now, I'm saying this because it's got nothing to do with people. In other words, the Bible says that the whole world has been deceived. So you can't look at people and say, that's my enemy. Because the Bible says, love your enemies. So the one that you got to look to, who is the puppet master behind all of this taking place, is Satan himself. And what you're going to have to do is go and bind the strong man. Because unless you can bind the strong man, you are not going to be able to spoil his house. He's just going to transfer his wealth to one of his other puppets and use it against you again. But this time, we're going to spoil his house. We're going to take from him, strip from him everything that he has, and so we'll leave him with nothing. He's not going to be able to put on those bad TV shows because he's not going to have the money to finance it. He's not going to be able to put out them girly magazines because ain't going to be no money to finance it. I'm telling you, if you strip him, he cannot move because money is what he's putting his anointing on. So let's say, go Rabo Shatarabahasa. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that something's coming about now. I said something's coming about now. Now, notice what happened. They got delivered. And I said something about this thing. I said, now, you got to realize that redemption is not complete without divine provision. that you will never meant to be let go and still owe all them bills that you owe. Come on now. You were never meant to be let go. Listen, your redemption is not just money. Your redemption is spirit, soul, body, financially, and socially. Say amen to that. Come on back over here to Psalms and Psalms chapter 105, please. Psalms chapter 105. I think it's 105. Praise God. You got me so high in the spirit. Yeah, here's 105 and verse 37. You don't have it? Look on the board. He brought them forth also with silver and gold. But keep going now. Keep going. I'm saying your redemption is not only money, but it's your body. It's what's going on in there. I'm saying that because of your worry, it has brought sickness in your body. But God's going to take away your worry and going to take away your sickness. That everything that the devil did to try to cripple you and make you not fulfill your destiny, your set time right now. So let's just look at this just a little bit. Set time. Your spirit restoration takes place first in your spirit, that you got born again. You got to be a new creature in Christ. Now there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Say amen to that. That you have now been made the righteousness of God in him. So you've been redeemed in your spirit. Your spirit now is the same as the Spirit of God. Say amen to that. Because you are a child of God. And also, you've been redeemed in your soul. Because your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, your intellect, and your imagination. Come on over there. I got to take you somewhere. You got some time. Praise God. Let's go over to Mark. I feel like preaching now. Let's go to Mark and Mark chapter 5, please. Mark chapter 5. The devil is a liar. Mark chapter 5. Hallelujah. Elvin, Mark chapter 5. Let me know when you get there. I said, let me know when you get to Mark chapter 5. This is when Jesus came to the other side of the Gadarenes. Now this, once he came there, look at verse 2, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could what? Bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, often now. And the chains had been plucked asunder and by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And he was always night and day in the mountains, cutting him, crying, and so forth and so on. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and did what to him? Worshiped him. Now, what am I telling you? Lord, have mercy. I'm telling you that there is a whole new mindset that you need to get a hold of. And the mindset is that you are no longer who you were, but now you are, in fact, God's child. And you are representing a brand new government coming here in this earth. Now, anytime you know who you are, you will command respect both in the spirit and in the natural, both from humans and animals. I'm here to tell you right now that you are a child of Almighty God. Say amen to that. Now, God has given you a new mind, and the mind that you have now is the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. And this mind now is full of new inventions. I said the mind that he's given you now is programmed for mental distinction. I'm saying that the mind that he's given you now is surpassing any intelligence in this natural world. You've got to understand that the Bible says in Jude that the Father, the only wise God. Well, he can't be the only wise God and have dumb children. I'm here to tell you right now that if he's the only wise God and you have access to what's in him, you are the only wise child. Lord have mercy, I got to stop. The father told the son that came in, he came to entreat him. He said, son, don't you know all that I have is yours? I'm telling you, you have inherited all the father has. The only thing he holds back is when Jesus is coming back again. The Bible says he won't even tell Jesus that. You know why he won't tell Jesus? Because whatever Jesus got, you can get. So he knows you'll get it, so he won't tell it to the son. Say amen to that. Oh, I'm here to tell you, when Adam fell in the garden, he suffered mental poverty. I'm telling you, he suffered something in his mind, because here he was having the mind of God, and all of a sudden he sinned and couldn't even think straight. You know he couldn't think straight because he went to hide from God. Anybody that's trying to hide from God has got mental problems. I'm here to tell you right now, this is your time. God has restored your spirit. He's restored your mind. But he didn't stop there. He restored your body as well. I'm talking about a man sat by the pool of Bethesda. He had been there for 38 years. I'm talking about, I don't know how long you've had your disease, but I got good news for you. The set time has come. This is time for you to rise, take up your bed. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. How about socially? Oh yeah, folks, they tried to take away your dignity, but God is gonna give you your dignity back. I'm here to tell you, he said here in Isaiah 61, he's going to give you beauty for ashes. He's going to give you the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He's going to beautify you. Anything that is trying to take away your beauty, the Holy Ghost is there to deal with it right now. Say amen to this. I'm saying the Holy Ghost is there to execute vengeance upon all the enemies of God's people, and nothing is going to escape him. Everything that's broke in your life is about to be fixed. That everything that's making you uncomfortable is about to be removed. From everybody. I'm telling you, it's going to be the most popular thing in the world to be a Christian, because they're going to see the manifestation of the sons of God. Say amen to this. Your redemption is not complete without provision. Now, Lord, have mercy. God didn't release you to be a beggar. Your days of begging folks for stuff is over. I said your days of begging for stuff is over. Say amen to that. And I'm talking about, we're not talking about things happening hopefully over a long period of time. Wait a minute. God will deliver his people speedily. Go back to Zechariah. Come on back to Zechariah, please. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Y'all got me preaching now. I didn't mean to preach this hard. Glory to God. Woo-wee. Zechariah chapter 4. Now, remember this. That it took vengeance for Israel to be set free. And God kept warning Pharaoh. But Pharaoh kept being full of pride and wouldn't let God's people go to meet their prophetic destiny. Come on now. So who is ever holding you back? Come on now. They're going to have to be dealt with. And God knows how to terrorize terrorists. Now, yeah. Now, these things, God is going to empower us, but the things are coming supernaturally. And it's supernatural deliverance that I'm talking about now. I'm not talking about nothing natural. And the spiritual dimension of economic recovery has some characteristics to it. In other words, one day they were broke. The next day they were carrying money like suitcases. Come on, come on. You got to stay with me. I'm not talking about a long time here. We don't have time. God is in a hurry. Now, look what it says here. When this spiritual dimension of economic recovery takes place, the first thing about it is it's always dramatic. I said it's always dramatic. Here comes Moses and the children of Israel. They stuck out a staff. He stuck out the staff, and the whole Red Sea split. Boy, if that ain't dramatic, I don't know what is. Here comes Joshua. He said, Joshua, just march around here 7 times. And the whole place fell. Come on now. Here comes the people of God, and they prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said, don't pray to me anymore. Just tomorrow, go and get Wayne and do some praising. Come on now, come on, come on. Just praise me. You ain't gonna need to fight your own battle. Just give me some praise. Give me some praise. You got to see what I'm saying. And the enemy, they start fighting one another, and everybody killed everybody. And then God's people were 3 days taking up the spoil. Say amen to that. I'm talking about the deliverance of God's people break natural laws. Here is a man named Paul. They thought they had him. They put him in prison. He was down there with Silas. Silas. He said, Silas, what you think? He said, boss, I think it's about the right time. He said, let's pray. He started praying. Once he got done praying, he started praising God. All of a sudden, the jail starts shaking. I'm here to tell you, God's got your release. Now, praise God. One episode transferred the wealth of an entire nation. One night. One night. Next. Number two, it's always accomplished with divine speed. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I said, folk in the natural take too long. God said, no, I ain't gonna take that long. He said, prophet, go tell him tomorrow about this same time. There's going to be plenty and it's going to be cheap. Say amen to this. See, your mind is thinking natural. God ain't thinking natural. He's saying, come on up and get the mind of Christ and know I can turn your situation around in one night. Boy, he's talking to somebody. Woo! Become a millionaire overnight. Number three, when God is moving, his hand is at work, you cannot scientifically analyze the process. You don't know how that happened. Only thing you know is it happened. Say amen to this. Now, I'm not up here preaching for my health. I'm preaching for your wealth. Now, I know some people may not like this, but anything that's making you comfortable, they're gonna move them. You covered now. I said the Holy Ghost has got you covered now. You are the end time church. Say amen to that. You are God's ruling body here in this earth. Last place, Hebrews chapter 10. Oh, it's all over the Bible. Everything that's been causing shame in your life is now about to be cut off. Whether it's your family, whether it's your career, whether it's your ministry, anything contrary to beauty in your life is about to be stopped today. The latter rain is coming into your life. Glory to God. That rain is the anointing. And that's what the prophet said. The prophet said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. It's about to No. God doesn't need a century to affect change in your life. That building that Nehemiah built back was supposed to take years and years. But he built it back in, what, 52 weeks. I'm here to tell you, Laban stole from Jacob being unscrupulous in his business dealings and stole from him for 20 years. But in 1 year, God had Jacob to strip Laban of everything he ever had. say, I said, God has kept records of everything that has been done to you, that has been stolen from you, that has been defrauded from you, that has been robbed from you. God has records, and today, look what it says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 30. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongs to me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Give the Lord a hand for the word of this hour. Give him a praise. Give him a praise. Let's thank him for it, because he's pouring out the rain now. He's pouring out the rain. See the anointing that's on that message, because it's a set time. Something is about to happen. Take your seats for just a moment. We get carried away here, we'd be here. This is what I want to do. There are some people here. You don't know Jesus, or you know about him, but you don't know him. And he wants to come in you. He wants to go home with you tonight. This is your day for release. That everything you've been struggling with, you will struggle with it no more. Time to get your condemnation and get that removed and make a brand new start. So here's what I want to do. While the music is playing and the saints are praying, I want to call you. I want to be used by God to bring you into the kingdom. Just shouting is not enough. You got to know the Master. So whoever that is today, I don't know what your situation is or how you got here, but I do know one thing. You didn't come here by coincidence. God has a plan for your life. If you're here and you say, Lord, that's me. I need you, Lord. I need a new start. I need to get this old life behind me and start all over again. I need Jesus. He said the only way to the Father is through him. And he said, no one could come to him unless the Father has drawn him. So you couldn't have even come in here unless God had a hand in it. Now let me pray for you the prayer they prayed for me some years ago. Turn my life around forever. This is your season. So whoever you are, don't be ashamed of it. We all had to come this way. Jesus wasn't ashamed to hang on the cross for you and died for your sins. He was raised again, and he's alive right now. So whoever that is that's in this congregation right now, I'm not asking you to join this church. You can do that today if you'd like, but if you want to go somewhere else, we'll send you there. But today, don't leave here like you came in. This is your day for a miracle. So if you're here, you know you need Christ in your life. Let me pray for you right now. Whoever that is, take a step of faith. Get up out of your chair. Come up here and stand with me right now.